Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is where Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi bring you the latest news and information on pro wrestling and MMA, as well as interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap with your hosts, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi.
Hello, everybody. As the song goes, the boys are back in town. It's Ringside Wrap here. Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi live. Guys, first, let me say at the top of the show here, I want to just kind of mention to everybody out there, we've got our own standalone website now. Nothing wrong with GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. It's still there. We just branched off and got our own domain. So if you want to check in with the crew here and there and see what's going on, see what's happening in the world of wrestling and MMA and occasionally that corpse of a sport, boxing, check out ringsiderap.com. Hey, Les, before we get into anything, I wanted to ask you, I believe Doc Young had some surgery today, didn't he?
Yeah, they put a port in his stomach so they can feed him that way. He's walking a little bit in the hallways with a walker. He can drink a little bit if he concentrates on it through a straw. And they have moved him out of the critical ward. He's in a regular room now. The thought is if they can get his oxygen, it's when he goes to sleep, his oxygen falls off, and that's still a major problem, obviously.
Right.
But what they want to do is at some point, as soon as he's capable of doing this, move him to a rehab facility and start 3 hours a day of rehab. So, but anyway, it's positive and it's a plus. So he's he's fighting the good fight, man. This has been going on for so long for him. That little sucker's tougher than I am. I can tell you that right now.
I'll raise a toast to him. He's been kicking for, I think, with this thing, what, about 4 years now?
Yeah, well, they came down, they were supposed to do the port Monday, and he came down with pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
Another touch of pneumonia, which is like maybe the sixth time this year, or three or four anyway. It seems like it happened almost every other month or something, but and then so they were going to postpone the surgery, and he was, I got an email from him. He was, kind of upset with that, obviously, because he didn't want to put it off. And anyway, so then they, they decided that it wasn't critical enough that they wouldn't do. So sometime this afternoon they did the surgery to put the port in. So.
All right. And for anybody that's not familiar with Doc Young, we actually did a tribute show with Doc, I guess probably a couple years ago, Les. We had him on when we were doing Peach State Pandemonium, had him on with us, and had a great time. And he, for anybody that is unfamiliar with him, he was doing Wrestling Weekly with Les for about 3 years before Les partnered up with us over at the GWH Radio Network. And then, of course, I guess he got better and was able to do another show. You guys started doing that on Wrestling Observer, and, of course, still called Wrestling Weekly. Go check out those shows, and I believe the archives of the old shows are still up at WrestlingWeekly.com, right?
I think so, or at least they're at Figure Four if they're not. I think you have access to the archives there, too. He also produces Figure Four. Or,
right, what? Right.
Until just recently for Brian. And so, yeah, he's been an intricate part of everything. I wouldn't even be involved in this if it weren't for him. I was guest on a show that he was producing a number of years ago, and they asked me to come back with some regularity, and then it just one thing another, and he contacted me and said he wanted to do something, and so we hooked up and started doing it. And so he's, he's been involved a lot, and I think Brian would tell you the same thing. He's been an intricate part of that show since he signed on there, too. But,
right.
Hell
of a guy, and obviously everybody's pulling for him. Before I don't know. Let's go ahead and get to the goofiness, as Mike called it today. The goofiness of WWE and obviously the whole Monday Night Raw segment, the vote of confidence and whatnot, and obviously everybody walking out. Except for I did find it strangely odd that a few names, big name talent, were not out there. Don't know why that is, or if that's going to become part of a storyline or what.
So
but
that they didn't get booed. They didn't want Cena booed.
Right. And but what did you guys think of the segment? I don't even know why I'm asking.
I don't want to be here 2 hours, to be honest with you, and I can tear this whole thing apart. I mean, piece by piece. I mean, it just they didn't think it out. And I got a laundry list. I don't write things down, but I can, you know, I got a laundry list of stuff. So Mike's more windy than I am. Let him go ahead and then.
I don't even think I can be, because it was like one of those things where you're been able to poke holes and large issues with everything that they've done. Forget about for a long time. Let's just take the quote-unquote punk ascension from there on, how many mistakes that they've made. But when the average person watching, the average fan, truly not on the internet, not reading newsletters, not listening to this type of show, when they can start blowing holes in it and asking why, this whole thing could arc out to be the greatest. You know, Vince may think he can win an Emmy with whatever this story ends up turning out to be, and it could be really interesting, but you know what? If The Godfather would have been filmed with NFL players, it probably wouldn't have been as good. If Dog Day Afternoon would have been done with, you know, baseball players, it would not have been, you know, good.
Well,
just the whole thing, for the reasons it's being done, Vince's hatred of lawyer, all of this stuff, it could end up being some great story, but it's not good entertainment. It's not sports. It's not wrestling. It's not sports entertainment. It's like bad, I don't know, it's dinner theater type stuff. I mean, I don't know.
The only way it would be good. I mean, if it were on a drama show that where they could change the scene, but for all this to take place in a wrestling ring gives it an air of, of just being a hoax anyway. I mean, first of all, you don't have these kind of meetings with your employees in front of a large audience, especially when you're a publicly held company. And I don't know, I don't know what the odds might be in Vegas, but I feel fairly sure that there'll be a Raw next Monday night. I don't think Bonnie Hammer will run a two-hour test pattern from 9 to 11 next Monday.
Although that would be awesome.
It wouldn't be much worse than what was on Monday night this past.
There you go. There you go.
Even by today's standards of storylines that should take a year that happen in 2 months, even by those standards, what this storyline could actually be and how it could have an impact, you would still need a year to build up everything where it would make sense. And, I mean, we talked about how fast this whole Triple H COO thing about, you know, getting it and having it fall apart. We pointed out all the storyline problems you had with that and all the logical problems you had with that, much less speeding into this, which, again, it just, I don't know. I don't see Mick Foley coming back as the GM or whatever could happen, because he's obviously on the way back. And I love Mick Foley. I don't see him helping. I don't know. It's the soap opera writer.
At this point, Mick's more a comical character. I mean, without even trying. From the beginning, you know, if your plot is to let's have a storyline where you fall off the mountain. Well, first you have to climb the mountain. And he's never, I mean, you know, he barely was in charge 15 minutes till this whole conspiracy thing started. So nobody, I mean, you know, there was no foundation built for this, none whatsoever. And like I say, if it's just, it hasn't been thought out. I mean, it just, you know, but you're right. Cena wasn't out there. Punk was, you know, because they didn't want him out there. And the other part is when you stop and think about, Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston walked out, and that would be why exactly? They're the tag team champions. You get more airtime than they've ever gotten before. I mean, you can say that about a bunch of, you know. Does anybody care if they're, I mean, it's just, they're all bad actors anyway. The worst, now, if you want to talk about the Academy Award for the worst acting, had I have produced the women's segment where Michael Cole had to tell you that on the outside, Kelly may be smiling, but on the inside, she's furious. She's dancing and waving, doing her same old bullshit, you know, and then all of a sudden she starts screaming like an idiot and beating. Had I have been producing that, had I have been in the gorilla position when she came back, I would have cut a Jim Cornette. You would have heard me without a microphone calling her everything but a human being. I mean, it's just stupid, ignorant, horrible, dumb. I mean, I don't even have the right words to describe that particular segment. I mean, it's just, it was horrible. And why somebody, you know, do they lay anything out to these people before they go? I mean, especially when you've got somebody like that. And again, I don't know her. I can't believe she's, her IQ is single digits. I don't think anyway. But, you know, if you've just been screwed out of your title, which you were having major orgasm with every time you held the belt up for several weeks, shouldn't you have been upset when you came, instead of waving and jumping and doing your whole thing, and then all of a sudden you change, and the whole screaming thing is just stupid. But there's little things that didn't even have to do with the vote of confidence thing. It's just Miz and Truth bought tickets to a pay-per-view. They sneaked into the back or was let in, whoever the hell, I don't, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe that's part of conspiracy too, but the point is they were where they weren't supposed to be with a company they were no longer employed with. And then on top of that, they ran into the ring and probably gave somebody 50 cents to run the cage up and down. I don't know. And they're going to sue somebody? They've got a lawyer? How about assault and battery? How about trespassing? What the hell? And then they go on YouTube and hang, well, we're sorry. Jesus Christ. And then we've punished John Morrison and McIntyre for having the wrong women in their lives. And here's two guys who have potential. McIntyre probably at this point more so than John, because John's been abused, in front of an audience. But both of these guys, you know, with lack of depth, and you got them out there doing jobs, and then you put Santino out there to beat Mahal in 30 seconds. Why the hell didn't you have one? I mean, here's the point. Whether I like Santino or don't like Santino, whether I think he's a stupid comedian or he's not, is not even the point. The point is he's not going to draw you 50 cents, and does it make any sense that he beat anybody in any length of time? Well, you could have put McIntyre out there and give him a couple minutes with this guy and put him over and made him a little stronger, or Morrison. I mean, for Christ's sake, get a grip on your life. I mean, it was just horrendous. And the whole thing with the mid-card people out there each making a little speech about why I'm going, you know, it's bad working conditions, and that became boresome after a while. It's just, and then if you saw on anybody's website, the after thing at the end where woo-woo-woo comes out and says, you said my catchphrase. And I thought, great, now this means 57% of the indie kids will think, so your catchphrase is more important than my body or the fact that I can't slap my ass with both hands. I'll have to come up with a good catchphrase. Anyway, as serious as that may have, I mean, as the kid may have tried to be, then Triple H pedigreed him. So we turned that into sort of a comedy segment too. So why are you, you know, you've got the rest of your lives to convince me that I should take any of this seriously. I mean, it's just, you know, and spoiler alert, I don't even care. On SmackDown, all these guys from Raw are going to say, well, we're not going back to Raw as long as Triple H is COO. Okay, so either you're going to look like a friggin' fool on Monday night, or else you've already told us that there's going to be a different COO, and so what the hell is the sense of having him be one for 5 weeks or whatever? I mean, it's like, I don't know.
It's bad television, that's for damn sure.
It was bad. I mean, it was real. And I think Vince Russo is back.
I was just praying Ted DiBiase exited the door when because it was like, first there was McIntyre, then there was Morrison, then there was Mahal, and it's like, God, Teddy, I hope you're not in there somewhere, because I just, that was the other thing coming away from this thing, too, of, the guys that they wanted to protect from getting booed, Eve Torres, for whatever reason, Kelly, Orton, Cena, Punk, again, you take those guys out, and then it's just a whole bunch of people. And it's, it's too bad because, they're all just, it shows you they have no start. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody believes this story. I mean, and I didn't know that because I didn't see the SmackDown spoilers. So let me get this straight. They've got unfair working conditions, but only on Raw.
Yeah, but he's the COO of both companies, but it's all right for him to be the COO of SmackDown, but he can't be the COO of Raw. Figure that one out.
Oh, yeah, the unfair working
conditions. This hasn't been thought out. They made this decision in 13 seconds, and somebody said, here's an idea, and they said, yeah, let's run with it. I mean, none of it makes sense. I mean, you're right. None of it makes any friggin' sense whatsoever. Well, they had some of the guys from Raw, periodically throughout the SmackDown show, saying, well, I'm not going back to Raw, And like the thing with Lawler. Lawler comes out and says, I don't blame you, but there's a conspiracy, but then Lawler walked out anyway.
Yeah, I found that very odd. That was just a bad, I don't know, there was an awkward ending to that whole thing with them. It was just goofy. Another thing I had a problem with was just the announcers. I other than Michael Cole, because they worked him as a heel, I don't see the point in having your announcers being lumped in with that. Am I wrong in that?
The cameraman. I mean, the hell?
They're a freaking TV crew is the way I see them.
And here's the other thing, too. Go back in history, 10 years at work. How many run-ins have there been in cages? How many guys have come beat up somebody in the locker room? How many... he's lost control. Well, hell, if that's the case, then there never was control. I mean,
exactly. kind of moving on from that, Mike, you wanted to talk, one of the things you wanted to talk about was WWE Network. What do you got?
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about the idea of it yet. Those weren't in Les's kind of point of view on this too, about how solvent a thing like this could be. It was talked about a little bit. There was rumor of either the UFC or WWE and or both being interested in buying G4, the struggling Comcast owned station, and now that it's NBC Universal and all this stuff and Comcast owns it, there was talk of spinning that channel off. UFC obviously declined the offer, hooked up with Fox for a deal. WWE has sent out, feelers to people about what would you think about WWE having its own network and being put in with the sports tier of the NFL Network and the NBA and those types of channels, Golf Channel, Tennis Channel. I got to be honest, I like the idea. And again, it's not my money, but, depending on how much, you would have to put out for this, I don't think it's a bad idea. If they would have gotten G4, even though it's on a lot of, WWE needs to be lumped in immediately with the sports tier and hope that the people that do have it, will order that package for $6 and being a part of that, so they don't have to try to establish themselves on their own. They can be put in with that, so when somebody does order that package, and a lot of us, probably almost everybody listening to this show does for the NFL Network or something, that it would be immediately right in there. I I like the idea. I don't know. I just want to know what you guys thought of it. And as far as things like original programming, where I know people made fun of the possibility of the Big Show having a cooking show with his wife. Now, I'm not against that idea. I know they're going to put a lot of bad stuff on there. It won't all be wrestling. They're going to try their hand at crappy comedy, and I'm sure Santino and stuff like that. But having a show like that where Jim Ross could have time to do barbecue tips or something like that, I don't think that's a bad idea. With real personality and real life type of things, I mean, people like those things. It just, I don't have an issue with that either, but I just want to know what, you know, Les, especially you thought of them spending the money on doing this and the type of programming that they could have on.
Rich, you want to start? I'm just
well,
a grumpy old man, so it's...
Well, yeah, I'm very interested in it. I like the idea of them trying to be in a sports package. I think if that's something that can be sold. I mean, I'm not a TV guy. I don't know the inner workings of it, how it goes. I tend to rely on you for that. But is that something that's easily done to where? I mean, what goes into that? Is that something that WWE has the clout to go out and make themselves a part of that package? I mean, how does that actual process work?
Well, they have love in the cable and satellite industry because of the amount of money. I mean, though, you know, a couple of boxing matches, and they've helped build pay-per-view. I mean, they wrestling, boxing, they are pay-per-view, and wrestling was the big thing. So they do have a good number of deals with cable companies because they were able to get the 24/7. You know, it wasn't
right.
Massive right away, but they've been able to establish that, and that's floundering because, I mean, there's a million video on demand services and, you know, they're lost in the mix where if this was available, you know, that's why I think it's a far better idea than even the video on demand, because if they do establish this network and they get it on, they do get enough clearance on cable companies, they'll probably drop it right into that sports tier.
And I guess based on that,
wrestling fan that buys pay-per-view and things like that thinking, well, you know what, they may not buy the sports package, like a Brian Alvarez. It's going to force him into buying that package.
Right. I've got all the sports stuff, so obviously I guess it would fall probably into my lap. That's great. I don't know all the different systems and what different people have around the country or whatever, but the thought of a WWE network, especially because of the library they own at this point, it being more than just WWE, that's what makes it attractive. If it was just WWE material 24 hours a day, I got to tell you, I'm probably not watching it. But to be able to go back and watch some of the classic stuff, absolutely, I'm all over it.
My problem is my cable bill is as high as it's going to get, period. I mean, that's here in my house. I'm not putting down another dime for anything, first of all. So, you know, unless it's put on a tier that I've got, I'm not going to get it to begin with. Their library... Good. I think what will turn would be a negative is if that library starts coming out with how we invented wrestling and took it out of the smoky halls, you know, the smoke-filled little bingo halls or whatever their pitch has been for so many years. Because you're going to see a lot of people that might want it to see what you're talking about, but then when they start to dilute it with the rewrite of history. I would say some of those people that actually are maybe between us, the three of us in ages, you know, in our age brackets, are going to turn their back on it. I don't need a revised history. I know history in this. I can give you want a half century of history in this business? I can give it to you without rewriting it. And I don't want them to either, because that's one of my biggest problems with the business and never mind WWE is that there's so much rich history and it's so interesting. Well, you like that book list. I forgot about the history of the NWA that you guys both listened, and I would put that on there too, because that, I mean, the chicanery and the whole manipulative thing there is, regardless of whether you say, well, that's bad or good, it's certainly interesting, entertaining, and it builds a foundation for things. And to just change all that, like Hogan invented wrestling and that sort of thing, is beyond my comprehension. I have no use, no desire for any of that. Now, cooking show, I don't watch anybody's cooking show. So that, I mean, you know, I'm diverse, believe me. The only wrestling shows I have watched in their entirety is the last 2 weeks, and that's 2 hours of Ring of Honor. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. And all I'm apt to watch in its entirety, the way things are going, for some time to come. You know, somebody was talking to me about this network thing, and well, you know, the plan is to put WrestleMania and Survivor Series on our network and use that as leverage. Because back when we tried to put Crockett out of business, we used that as leverage. I said, well, okay, this is not 1986. This is 2012 coming up. That leverage that was used then is not as strong or as valid today, because those networks have programming, you know, and pay-per-views. There are more pay-per-views. There are concerts. There, you know, and there's all, you know, all sorts of things. But MMA, you're right, boxing and wrestling is a part of it. Sure it is. But I don't see them holding up, the cable companies for that, because we're talking about once a year now. We're not talking about monthly, weekly, daily, but I am told is part of their idea, whether it's strategy or not, and making the, you know, okay, so we're going to fill it with a lot of our own straight to video movies. Okay, did you see the great acting talent that was on the show Monday night? How many of those movies do you want to watch?
You know, you make an interesting point.
I've seen better acting in porn movies.
you make an interesting point about revisionist history, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think where you were going with it was the revisionist material will turn off older fans from wanting to watch, even though there's classic stuff. I maybe disagree with that, because I think they're going to overlook that and watch just the classic stuff and turn the rest of the crap off.
I can only speak for me. I can't speak for everybody else.
Well, sure. But I think for the younger fans, I think WWE maybe kind of hurts themselves in being able to make that part of it successful, because they have done so much revisionist history. I think they've clouded so much of we brought it out of the bingo halls. You know, you push that so much to make yourself look bigger. You've pretty much turned off your audience from wanting to watch that kind of stuff. And if you depend on that to be even so much as, like, you know, I don't know, a quarter of your programming day, that's a quarter of your programming day. You're losing a heavy demographic that's actually going to be watching that network, I would think.
Yeah. You know, and again, you're going to create your own programming. I'm not a Santino fan, and I'll be the first to say that. In small doses, I'm not a Santino fan, which it's not a personal issue. I don't know the man. It's just the stupid cobra and, this, you know, that stupid crap just doesn't belong in a wrestling ring. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Do I want to see a half-hour weekly show of him doing something? That's the other thing, too. Can he carry what he and Mahal did Monday night? You know, I sat here and watched it on Tuesday. I'm sure in the locker room that was funny as hell to the boys, but it didn't translate.
Probably, yeah.
They'll never put that on Comedy Channel to replace Dennis Miller or anything like that. I mean, but see, and I've seen that over the years too. And I won't throw anybody under the bus here, but there's a few modern guys over the last few years that I could sit in the locker room and laugh my ass off at them, right? But it's nothing I would put on television, you know, out for the general public, because the locker room thing is there's a closeness. I mean, you don't have to be best friends. It's just you're there with each other for so many hours, you know, every week, every day, that little things that, you know, well, I'll give you an example. Dennis Hall and I laugh at each other when nobody else would ever laugh. You know, we spend so much time on the road together. You know, we say just little things that are meaningful to us that'll crack both of us up. and are absolutely not funny to anybody else. You know,
right.
Like I said, I watched that Monday night. And I thought I'm sure that was funny in the locker room, but I could have lived another 5 or 10 minutes without it on my television. And I'm sure it made no friggin' sense to you know, a huge percentage of people that saw it anyway. And I'm sure it probably wasn't funny or that funny. You know, they might have smiled, but and you know, that's the other thing too is. They don't know at this point. They've lost concept of how to draw you into buying something to begin with, and if they're not selling anything and just giving it away, then you're less apt to, you know, to get in. I don't know. I just think if you can't put together 2 hours for me to be compelling, how the hell are you going to put together 7 days?
And that's the amazing part about. Their thought that they could actually hold a cable company up or really force it because we're going to have WrestleMania on our network and look what that means to the cable industry where, well, number one, the UFC numbers and the big boxing numbers, as long as there's a Pacquiao and a Mayweather, you know, and a couple of ethnic draws, and there are a few guys, Cotto's and your Chavez Juniors, I'm sorry, WWE's not bringing home the bacon like that where it's that means something. I mean, these Hell in the Cell numbers that are going to come out are going to be awful. I mean, the past couple have been anyway and been incredibly disappointing. That doesn't mean anything. The other thing is all you do is shoot yourself in the foot because unless you get big commercial sponsorship and treat WrestleMania as if it was the Super Bowl and you're selling 30-second spots and insane amounts of money, you're not going to make that money up. That's just that to me is ludicrous. And if it's I'm hoping what they meant when they had come out and said the possibility of putting some pay-per-views on this channel, that they're meaning tape delayed, which is still a bad idea. It's still a stupid idea. It still works for boxing in a few big fights, and that's it. That's the only place that type of thing works, where people will watch it and still buy the pay-per-view. Nobody's going to buy the pay-per-view. Nobody's buying it now. Why would they not just wait? They're waiting till Monday anyway to see what happened, you know, at the pay-per-view when it comes to Raw. And frankly, in the last couple, they haven't even done that. That, to me, is a ludicrous idea to ever have the pay-per-views on there. They need to cut pay-per-views back to at least just 12, you know, much less lose even more interest in them by putting them on that channel. That's crazy
and
to me.
Another one coming up in what, the 24th, 23rd?
Yeah, and they didn't even say a thing about them.
Yeah, I mean, you've got three in less than 6 weeks. I mean,
yeah, and that was the whole thing, the Punk storyline. That's what I couldn't understand. You're expecting people, you want people to pay $50 every couple of weeks when you got UFCs and everything else. Why the hell have you not dragged this out over to force people into spending their money? It's just, that's how short-sighted they are, and that's just how terrible. The fact with this network and everything else, it's amazing that they can still make money in spite of themselves.
I don't want to get too far off our agenda here, guys, but I do want to kind of carry off something that was just said. You said they need to cut back pay-per-views to a dozen. I'm sorry. I would much rather see something seasonal, like 4 pay-per-views. To me, it just seems like it would make more sense. It would allow more time for build. It would probably produce better buy rates than it is now, just for those 4. I realize, I guess they're going to lose the hardcore audience that's going to buy every one no matter what. But, I mean, is it something that's just not cost-effective to cut down on them, even if it makes it more intriguing and better?
I think 6 is really what they need, but I don't think you can turn the clock back to past 12. Not right away, not without... I don't know. It would be one thing if they had a big NBC show and people would actually care about it or something like that where you could cut the pay-per-views to 8 and then, you know, fill it in with some sort of advertising revenue. But again, they're not – there's no interest in them. So they can't do it. So, yeah, I mean, they have to rely on that 40,000 baseline or 50,000 baseline, whatever it is, that they have that is crazy enough to buy every show and just hope they keep buying every show.
Want to move on to talk about, I guess, while we're stuck on TV, let's talk about Ring of Honor, what second week went down this weekend. Those of you who actually get it, what'd you think? I don't get it, so I haven't seen it.
I thought it was another. You know, here's the crazy thing, and I've talked to several people about it. I've only seen the two episodes, but it moves. It's solid. It flows. It's informative. They you know, they give you insight into their people. You know what? It's the same format I used in 1977. I mean, it is. I mean, when I say the same format, obviously not the same, but it basically is, you know, what wrestling is was, you know, was back then in terms of the way it's formatted. This show, I thought, was more solid than the first, you know, the first show. There's, you know, last week I told Mike there was a couple things on the first show that I would have changed, and you know, I'm about crossing T's. There's a couple things on this show I would change. In the this Mike Bennett, I'd never seen Mike Bennett before, and I was impressed with his look, with his promo before his match. The thing that I would have changed in the match, and I told Bob Evans this very thing, is if you're a prodigy in our business, I would say you're not a prodigy because you kick good or punch good or you talk good. You're a prodigy because you wrestle good. And he was with Jimmy Jacobs, and I would like to have seen them do some sit-down, you know, sit-outs, take-downs, switches, and let him, you know, show his prodigy talents and have Jacobs maybe get just a half a step ahead of him, where then his ego, that ego that he showed on the promo, comes into play. And then, of course, then there's a reason for him to punch and kick, because Jacobs has made him look bad, and he still comes up the winner. Plus, Steve Corino was in Jacobs' corner, and with Brutal Bob in his corner, you've got two old-school guys who are about wrestling anyway, and your announcers could have played off of that as well. Speaking of announcers, I think Nigel and Kelly and Kevin will do well together. They'll find their groove. Nigel, of course, has never done, he's done promos, but he's never done this before. I'd like to see him, because he's wrestled most of these guys, you know, to use some of that in his color. Like I say, you know, I remember 3 years ago when I defended my title against so and so, this guy, you know, that he was tough on the, you know, on the ground, or it took this or that to get past him. You know, I hope his opponent sees that tonight, or what, you know, to give the viewer a little more substance to bite into, opposed to just watching these guys move. In other words, something to look for, you know.
Well, whether kind of like the Troy Aikman on the football.
Sure.
Game. Yeah.
Absolutely. I thought the clever thing in the main event was El Generico, who was their TV champ, against Jay Lethal. And one thing I would correct it there, but more importantly, is they came down, you know, all TV title matches, again, old school, 15 minutes. You know, they had their false, and they came, time limit was up. And the fans are chanting, give them five more minutes, and they're saying, give us some more time. You know, both of them came close, near falls, and so forth. Cornette came out and said, we don't have 5 more minutes. We've got 3 minutes left of showtime. If that's satisfactory to two guys, then go ahead and wrestle. You know, and I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't think the title was going to change hands here. I didn't think Lethal was going to have beaten Jenner. I thought, okay, they'll wrestle off the air. But they did switch the title in that 3 minutes. Good match. The one thing I would have changed, and I would continue to change it over and over again, is during the intensity down to the wire, when they were false, you know, they were both getting the near falls and stuff. Generico spent too much time, like, you know, like Jay would kick out and Generico would sit back on his heels, you know, up on his knees and sit back on his haunches and open his arms up, like, look at the, you know, play the pander to the audience, like, what happened? You know, and I'm thinking, cover him, God damn it, cover him. You know, this is not, I mean, sir, you know, there's a time and a place for that crap. And this
right.
wasn't the time or the place.
And you brought up something.
I say it's not. I've never had a perfect match, and I've never seen one in 51 years. And there's always ways of improving things, and these are little things that I think would have improved that. But overall, it's a solid show. They're giving you some background on their people. You knew who Mike Bennett was. You found out why Eddie Edwards is called you know, by his nickname because of the broken forearm. They previewed, you know, the big title match for next week with Davey Richards. And, you know, so it's good. It's, if you're looking for wrestling, this is what you want to watch. I mean, you really do. And I'm glad I get it on my TV. I don't have to wait on Monday or Thursday or whatever. But I highly recommend it to anybody. I mean, you can see it for free on Thursday after it
right.
airs on Saturday in the markets it's in. And if you're not getting it, you know, on your TV, I highly recommend signing up on the website on their website and watching it because you're going
to
see.
And just to clarify that too, by the way, to anybody, because I heard a lot of buzz this week about people complaining about the situation about signing up. The deal is you only have to pay to see it. What I think on like Sunday or Monday or something.
Monday,
but then by
yeah.
Thursday, you do have to sign up, but you're signing up for free registration, then you get the show for free as of the next Thursday. So you're still
right.
getting it before the next episode actually releases to the you know, widespread public on TV. You said something earlier that I wanted to mention as something that I think is a lost art. It just kind of triggered a memory. But the whole thing about you didn't think they'd finish before TV time ran out. How great was that? I remember being, you know, I don't know, 13, 14 years old and watching TBS and at the end of the show at sure enough at you know 8:04:59 Gordon Solie saying that's all the time we got, we'll show you the finish next week. you damn well better bet that had me back there at 6:05 the next week making sure that I saw the finish to that match.
Well, see, and the great thing about these 2 1-hour shows that I've seen is they're all the matches are booked going in. In other words, you know, you're not walking down the hallway and I say, well, Rich, I don't like the color of your jacket tonight. You've got a match right now with so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, this is like real professional sports where they know what the hell they're doing before they do it. And they also, like last week, they teased Generico and Lethal. You know, Lethal did a little promo, a little, you know, pre-tape thing. And so you were looking forward to it. Now with Roderick Strong and Davey Richards, you know, Strong saying, well, you know, quite frankly, he don't like me and I don't like him, and this and this and this, and Richards is saying this, you know, so they're giving you some substance. What's coming up next week? And this hour, they've only you've seen 4 matches in 2 weeks. You know, they're not 3-minute matches. They're giving you substance. They're giving you. They're showcasing their talent is basically
and yet,
what they're doing.
And I haven't seen the new show with the Sinclair Group yet, but only HD Net shows. You know, I got to figure it's probably about the same feel. Just in the way they produce their shows, as you said earlier, they move. You know, nothing stalls. It's just constant. And the thing is, you can watch an hour. At least I can watch an hour of the HD Net show, and it would feel like a 30-minute show, whereas I watch Raw, sometimes it feels like I'm watching a 4-hour live broadcast. And it's like, you know, there's just something about the flow of what they're doing. They have it right. They're doing it right.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, like here in my market, it's on 10 o'clock on the Sinclair station, 10 o'clock, and on Saturday night, and then midnight. Obviously, that's not a strong viewing time for television, unless you're a huge Saturday Night Live fan. I don't know, you know, I don't follow what it's on in the other markets, but I just hope, you know, I hope they don't live and die by what, you know, may come up in terms of ratings in those time slots.
Right. Because, hey, Mike, are you seeing it live?
No, unfortunately not. I have to wait. There's no affiliate down here, and I have not paid yet. And people are upset about that. This is not all ROH here or anything like that. Sinclair Broadcasting has got markets in theory to protect, and they don't have a great online service or anything like that. You know, because they work for other networks. They have network affiliates. They have to protect what they're doing. So that's one of the reasons that this is happening. It's not, you know, like shooting it back directly at ROH, that's not fair to do. But no, the first show, like Les said, that
the only beef I had with the first show was they didn't do the first match. I didn't like. They should have had more of what I would think an ROH match is, which is a, I don't know, Edwards or Daniels or somebody like that in that match instead of what they had out there. I've had a lot of blind faith in ROH. I was really proud as a wrestling fan to watch the show on HD that they had just lost Bryan Danielson. They had just lost Nigel McGuinness. They had lost a couple other people as well. And they didn't have a lot to work with. Mike Hogwood, who had never, watched wrestling in the Carolinas, but never had come close to announcing it. And they did a great job rebuilding faith in a company that I thought really took a bad rap from its fan base, and their fan base turned its back on it. And with the Briscoes and the world's greatest tag team and Hiro and Claudio and, the story with Tyler Black, everything that was going on, they did a great job rebuilding trust and faith in what they were doing. And so, with Jim Cornette and everything with this show, it's like watching, I don't know, again, it's like growing up in the 80s, it's like watching a old wrestling show again on a Saturday night when all of those types of shows, would be on in our area. We had, a bunch of shows on at night. That's what it feels like. So for me as a wrestling fan, that makes me happy. For anything that WWE or TNA will try to do to make me hate being a wrestling fan, at least there's ROH. And there is some of the Japanese stuff, but thank God, at least for America, there's ROH. It's not going to be perfect, but it's as good as it gets.
Speaking of contrast to the greatness of, at least I'll say the potential greatness of ROH, let's slide to 180 and go to TNA and Hogan. Obviously, Mike Johnson reporting today that Hogan's got a new deal with TNA. Obviously, he's going to be around beyond Bound for Glory.
Which thoughts? Means Bischoff's going to be around, too.
Yeah. And Russo's not going anywhere, so I guess it's going to be I don't know the terms of the deal, but I guess it's probably another minimum of a 2-year kind of thing or something, or at least a year.
I'm amazed. I'm utterly amazed at that. I mean, it's just, wow. I would never consider myself a good businessman. I consider myself a wrestling man, but I'm not a good businessman. But I'm thinking, obviously, there's some people there that aren't either. I mean, they've spent a lot of money for... and I'm not sure of what value. And I know here, a couple people said with different promos that Hogan's done that he has, he's talking about the little people show. What is it? Whatever the hell. The
micro.
Title. Yeah.
Micro wrestling or
horrible,
whatever.
Which is horrible. I have watched it. In fact, you won't believe this, but Saturday morning I watched Lucha Libre USA. I want to commend Kevin Kelly for being able to keep a straight face and actually call that as though it actually God love him. I hope they're paying him a lot of money to lie like that. I really do. I like it. That show is, I watched that to see Jindrak, who doesn't use that name. He's Corleone there or something. And
Marco Corleone, yeah.
And Relic, who is my boy Johnny the Bull, who I love to death. And, there was a guy that when he debuted that particular gimmick on TNA, I thought, Johnny spent a year with me. So, I mean, I'm very familiar with John. I like him as a, he and I hit it off really well. He worked his ass off for me. And I saw a lot of, talent, a chance to develop. And I think with that mask and that gimmick, he really came into his own in TNA, and why they never kept him or why nothing ever worked out there, I really don't know. So, but, John's a hell of a guy. But that damn stupid show opened with this kid, I can't think of his name, he's an American kid, with his binoculars walking the Mexican-American border where the fence was, and telling us how he was going to keep those luchadors, those masked wrestlers, from coming over and spoiling. And, of course, they're climbing the fence behind him as he walks on. I thought, well, this is the way I want to open a show and be serious about it. But Jesus, why don't we put all the wrestling shows on a comedy channel? I mean, Christ.
Well, you notice we just slowly, just actually subtly, just quickly moved on from TNA, but... Speaking
well,
of comedy.
You know, the only thing is the Bobby Roode thing at home where he's studying the angled tapes. That was done right, I think. And I've been a big Bobby Roode fan. So he, in 2002, was in the last tryout camp that Dr. Tom and Kelly and I ran here in Cincinnati. And we were all, you know, very positive about him. Of course, he's obviously, you know, developed, you know, since then. Hell, that's damn near been 10 years, guys. But, you know, so he's come a long way. But still, we saw, you know, the three of us saw the potential in him. It's just the company decided, you know, not to sign him. Had I have had the kind of money to bring somebody out of Canada to use him on my shows down here, I would have been happy to use him. I just, you know, but that wasn't something I didn't bring guys in from distances because I just didn't see the value in terms of, you know, what we could draw. But anyway, I thought that segment, they, you know, and that's it. They, you know, even a blind hog will root an acorn now and again.
broken clocks are right twice a day, aren't they?
Yeah.
There you go. Mike,
well,
I wanted to
With Bobby Roode, it's just they've fallen ass backwards into it with the success of Beer Money and everything, but at least he's one guy who they have not messed up, you know, throughout Team Canada and everything. And I know that, again, the stock thing was it was like, you know, you rolled your eyes at that when that little push happened, but Beer Money's been great. And if they have any sense, because I really like James Storm in his role, he's a tag team wrestler. He's going to just do nothing there as a singles guy anyway. Hopefully, they don't do something stupid. Roode doesn't have to kill Storm or anything like that, or vice versa, or any other garbage like that. Give Storm, let him introduce a new tag partner and somebody that could help. I don't think would be a bad idea there, too, because I really do like James Storm. So, sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, I like Storm, too. I first met him when he was just green as grass, when Reno Riggins and Steve Dunn had the short-lived promotion in Nashville, and Dutch Mantel and I were doing the play-by-play in the color, and some of my guys were, you know, I had booked on the show down there. But the only thing, if I had a company and Storm came to work, ditch the beer bottle right now. I don't want any part of that crap on my TV. Nothing. Period. End of story. That's cheap heat, and it's demeaning, quite frankly, to him. And, you know, hey, Mom, I want to be a wrestler. Can I get drunk? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's. I think you should do that before you wrestle. That's most top athletes do that. You know, you won't take steroids or smoke dope, but yeah, get drunk. That's cool.
Well, speaking of drunken wrestlers, Kurt Angle and I know that was a cheap segue. Obviously, I guess Kurt Angle has his charges reduced today to reckless driving, which I guess there was a lot of question about whether or not he, you know, the tests were legit and this, that, and the other from the September 4th arrest. Good for him to get that down, and I guess he's got a trial date November 8th. On that charge, but I wanted to get Mike's thoughts on the whole Kurt Angle and Dana White UFC talk of the last week. What the hell is going on?
Well, Kurt likes to talk a lot. You know, he likes to talk about going back to the Olympics. He likes to talk about, you know, he may or may not be getting into MMA. He talks a lot about, you know, conversations he may or may not have not had with the UFC and with Dana White over his participation in anything.
He's kind of become
Dana White.
Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, Kurt Angle was in a lot of ways made for professional wrestling in a lot of ways. Dana White is basically, you know, with Meltzer, and he gets hit with a lot of pro wrestling stuff, obviously with Lesnar and Heyman and things like that, but Angle is always up there, and he's always kind of taking the high road when talking about Angle. But he just finally said on Saturday night after the UFC Versus show, you know, hey, look, the only stuff we had with Kurt Angle was he was going to appear. He had actually signed and had agreed to appear on the Ultimate Fighter series that featured Kimbo Slice and Roy Nelson and Matt Mitrione and a couple other guys, or maybe not Mitrione, but Roy Nelson, the biggest one being Kimbo Slice. He went through everything. His health and his all of his exams came back not positive, but he wasn't medically cleared to appear on the show, and that's why he didn't appear. And I guess Angle, I'm not sure I haven't seen the exact interview where I guess Angle just very recently had some other reason of why he didn't appear on the show. It was his choice to not appear. But I guess White wanted to clear the record and say, no, he was fine with appearing, but his medicals came back and he was not going to be able to go. For what reason? Nobody knows.
Well, now, his manager said today that no one ever called him and said he didn't pass the medical.
And
Dave, I know Dave was a pro bodybuilder. When I worked at with Perillo, when we trained pro bodybuilders, and I was working in that industry back in 90, 91, 92, I met Dave. Nice guy. Of course, you know, he's got to take the company line too, I think. But
yeah,
I don't know Dana. Never met Dana White. I have spoke to Kurt. I don't know Kurt. But I tend to believe that White would be silly to make something up.
He's got no reason. And the thing is, he's always taking the high road when talking about this because, with Lesnar, it came up a lot too. Because remember when Kurt was, Dana wanted me and Lesnar. And Dana basically, no, Lesnar was a different situation. He was a different type of, he's a different animal right now, NCAA champion, than you were, 96 double Olympic gold medalist. It's a different situation, but Angle keeps, he kept doing the Hogan thing and kept, and up with this stuff. And then what it also does too with calling it out as a medical issue, hopefully this puts to bed, Kurt continuing to clog the air of, well, I want to be in the Olympics. I want to take a stab at the Olympics. Joe Warren from Bellator is doing it. Cale Sanderson is doing it. And I think he's going to do very well. He's coaching Penn State right now, just an incredible, incredible, arguably the greatest NCAA wrestler of all time, arguably. Roulon Gardner doing it in the super heavyweight division. There's guys who are coming back to do this. Kurt sticking his name out there and we're trying to attach himself to it. Doesn't do the amateur community, any justice. And in fact, really in the condition Kurt is right now, I think does a great disservice to professional wrestling because, he did a lot to help people stop, the amateur community turning its nose up at professional wrestling. But there's still a large percentage out there they have, to me, an irrational hatred of pro wrestling. I think in Kurt's current condition, all the good that he did when he came to WWE and holding his ground over what he thought was wrong in ECW when Paul Heyman kind of set him up with that, I guess he didn't set him up, but it was the Raven crucifixion thing that took place, and Angle freaked out about it, and rightfully so, at that time in his life. I just think he's doing a great disservice to everyone involved.
Segue from that to, obviously, UFC 136 is coming up this weekend, and I wanted to mention that we do have a couple of polls up at ringsiderap.com. One being, go ahead and get in there and predict the fight of the night off the pay-per-view card, off the main card. Predict that before the event, and then we'll probably put up a post and see what you thought after it. As well, there's also another poll. This one, just to clarify, this one is voting on confidence in Triple H, not in Triple H as a COO, in the storyline itself. Do you have confidence or no confidence? So far, only a couple of people have voted on that one, and both are no confidence, so apparently everybody's walking out. It's been 14 years since Brian Pillman died. Les, I know you knew him, probably knew him very well. Just talk about Brian for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I really didn't. I mean, when I say that, everybody assumed because we were both from Cincinnati that, we were, blood brothers or something. But when I first heard of Brian, I guess I was living in Knoxville at the time, and my my parents sent me a newspaper clipping, you know, saying that this kid, you know, Norwood High School, had played for the Bengals and was starting to wrestle in Canada, and that's how I first heard him. Actually, when I mentioned Perillo earlier, that's where I first met Brian. A friend of his who was a national amateur bodybuilder, competitive bodybuilder, had come over to John's, over to Perillo's, over to the office, to where we had our offices, gym, and the warehouse, and so forth, to pick up supplements or for some reason, anyway, and brought Brian with him. And actually, that was the first time, oh, you're Les Thatcher. Oh, you're Brian Pillman. Yeah, you know, and he'd had the same thing. Well, you're from Cincinnati. You obviously know Les Thatcher. But we got to know each other, and then when he had the ankle fused, he, you know, came up to our gym on several occasions to try to work around the ankle, trying different types of shoes, different types, you know, of approaches in the ring, and it was frustrating. Obviously horribly frustrating for him at his age to be, you know, hobbled like that. It was frustrating for me to sit and watch it because I realized how much talent this guy had. Chip Fairway, who was a hell of a little worker for me, and actually he just passed away. Chip had a heart attack. Oh, gosh, it's been maybe 3 months ago now. Brian had sent him to me, you know, and Brian was a hell of an athlete. The consummate overachiever. Our first Pillman Memorial show that we ran in 98 was at the Norwood High School gym where Brian went to school, and so I got to meet his football coach there. Brian was 135-140 pounds when he walked on there as a freshman and wanted to play football. Here's a guy who had 30 some operations on his throat due to, you know, cancerous things, and that's where the raspy voice came from, and one of the things that made him so intimidating, I think. He walked on and became a standout in the state in high school. He went to Miami of Ohio, where Roethlisberger is from, where Roethlisberger played football, where quite a few of the top coaches in the NFL, Paul Brown being one, had coached and spent time. Brian walked on there and became a starter at Miami as a linebacker. He made the Kodak All-American. And he was the only Kodak All-American who was not drafted by the NFL, so he walked on again at the Bengals and, you know, made it on the punt return team and then, you know, and got his chance to play in the NFL. And then, of course, went to Canadian League, and that's how he met Bruce Hart and got involved in wrestling. Brian was a very brilliant guy, though, and talking to some of the at the funeral, a couple of his college teammates spoke and were there, and they were talking about how, you know, where they would be labor over tests to keep their grade scores up and everything. Brian would, look over, a test, a quiz, check the answers, and that was it. He had a photographic memory, as far as I know. There's a guy who just on WLW Radio, which is Clear Channel owned and here in Cincinnati, you can hear it, gosh, I think it covers 38 states. Late at night, it has for years. Sports talk and everything is on there. A guy by the name of Bill Cunningham, who owns restaurants here locally and is quite a celebrity on that station, just started a syndicated television talk show this past week out of Chicago. I think probably out of the same the same production house that Jerry Springer got his start at. But Bill and Brian became friends. And Bill had Brian on his show, and there were times when Bill wasn't on the show, and Brian would actually come in and be the guest host when he was in town. Very glib, very quick-witted. That would have been something that the guy, you know, if wrestling wasn't, you know, he might have ended up with a syndicated national radio show of some sort. I mean, there was more to Brian than, you know, everybody knows, hey, you know, Booker Man and that whole shtick, but there was so much more to Brian Pillman as a human being, as an intelligent man. But now, you know, the other side of that coin is, and it was printed in every program. We ran four Pillman Memorial shows here And each program had the eulogy that Bruce Hart did at the funeral. And in that eulogy, Bruce paraphrased Elton John's Candle in the Wind. And that was Brian. You know, he lived life to the fullest at 100 miles an hour. And before I ever met him, I knew there were times when he was home to visit because somebody might come in the gym and say, do you know Brian Pillman? I said, no, you know, but I know who he is. And, well, he was in town over the weekend. I said, oh, yeah, how do you know? Well, there was a big fight at the Conservatory, which was a nightclub across the river in northern Kentucky. And Pillman knocked out two guys or something. So, I mean, that was just Brian, you know. And then if you guys probably saw the Steve Austin breaking into Pillman's house. The guys that Steve Austin beat up in the yard were trainees at my place. When Brian pulled the gun that nobody knew he even had or even expected him to pull, you talk about a surprise, I was like 10 feet from that. I was standing behind the cameras watching that. And then I produced the Melanie Pillman segment that where Vince interviewed her after Brian passed away. I was at a friend's house when he died. We were here at the house, some of my trainees. At that point in time, some of the guys would come over to the house and we would watch pay-per-views together. And just as the pay-per-view was getting ready to start, my phone rang, and I stepped out of the living room because of, you know, everybody chattering, to take the call, and it was Chip Fairway. And he had just heard, you know, I guess the family had told him that Brian had passed and had contacted him, so he called to let me know. And so it was when I got off the phone with him, I stepped back into the living room to tell the boys, and they had just heard it on the TV, and they were ready to tell me. And that Monday, I had been at the gym and ended up at, and well, at the time I was doing personal training. In some people's homes and in a couple of the local gyms, and plus, you know, training some wrestlers too. And I was at a friend's house, and my mom called me at the time. We didn't have a cell phone, and said, Bruce Pritchard's trying to run you down, and you need to call him. Here's his number. You need to call him as quick as you can. He needs to talk to you right away. And I called him, and he said, we've got a satellite truck on its way to Pillman's house. We'd like you to go down and just kind of see if you can help out and maybe help produce the segment. They're going to have Melanie on the show. So I ran home and showered and hustled on down there. And so I was, you know, I was part of that as well. The one souvenir I have from that I, you'd have to know the story. If you saw it, you wouldn't even understand it. But Chip Fairway, again, he played on a co-ed softball league with Brian's wife, with Melanie. And Brian came to the games. And like I say, Brian had been up at our gym and worked out with the kids some. And, you know, was trying to get, to find a way to work around the fused ankle. And I said to Chip, you know, ask Brian to autograph a picture for us for the gym and we can hang it up in here. He said, okay, so I'll do that. So I think it was either Thursday evening or maybe Thursday or Friday evening before he passed away up in Minneapolis, that they were at the game, and Chip had told Brian what I wanted, and Brian had a picture in the car with him. And so anyway, his Sharpie, he had signed two less, and then the Sharpie had run dry, and he was asking for people to give him a Sharpie, and there weren't any, and he handed the picture to Chip. He said, hang on to this, and I'll finish signing it when I come back. And, of course, he never came back. And wow. Chip, the next week, Chip brought the picture into the gym and told me the story. He said, I guess you don't want it. I said, quite the contrary, I do want it. Because that could very easily have been the last picture he ever signed.
Sure.
You know, so, but, yeah, he was a complex person. It was a lot to Brian. You know, he had his demons. But a very intelligent guy, tremendous athlete. I think he contributed a lot. And Lord only knows, had he stayed healthy and stayed alive, how much more he could have contributed to the business. But I think part of the problem was at such a young age was so much future and so much passion for it that to be unable to physically to do what he could do mentally, I think, was part of his downfall too.
All right, good stuff, Les. We really need to, and I don't want to trail off of that, saying we need to just talk about people that have passed on, but we do need to get to the segment, the road less traveled. We need to get that going and start finishing our shows that way, because just listening to you talk about some of these guys is just awesome. What have you got coming up? You got any seminars coming up?
I would love to have something. I will take donations, man. These eye surgery things are killing me. But no, I really don't have anything right now booked at all, quite frankly. I don't know if you didn't hear. I don't know if you heard Mike and I last week or not, but they've put my eye surgery off now a month to clear up some bacteria infection and then to get the dry eye to where they can get a proper measurement for the implant. So as it is now, it looks like November 2nd and 9th, the first two Wednesdays of the month, is when I will be doing the cataract surgery. What I do have to tell you is, as of last night, the old man is now a great-grandfather.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Congrats, yes. Man.
7 pounds, 9 ounces, 21 inches long, a little girl.
And all right, awesome. There you go. Yeah, you're not old enough to be a great-grandfather.
I know. I'm not old enough to even be a grandfather, but don't tell anybody, okay?
There you go. All right, and of course, if anybody does want a book, well, you know, here's the thing. I didn't want to tell you, but before you came on the line before the show, Mike actually said he was going to cover your medical cost for you. You've got... Obviously,
he should. The way I let him malign and tear me down on Facebook, for Christ's sake.
Oh, stop it. All to give Doc Young a cheap laugh, which I know he got. I was the one who set myself up to be slaughtered.
I'm going to call David Otunga and see if he can get a slander lawsuit.
You know, just don't get Jim Wilson's laugh. You know what? That's one thing we should do, too, since Rich, because there were books that, like, Barnum's Bounce that I didn't put on there. Like, we should actually, at some point, talk about those books that are on there, because...
I had actually thought of that, and I'll let you finish that, but let me steer the listeners to it. There is a section at ringsiderap.com that we got up there called Recommended Reading, where each one of us, we put a dozen books up. We call them basically the Worthy Dozen, as opposed to the Dirty Dozen, but no particular order, just 12 books that each of us liked and believe everybody should be reading. And going off what you're talking about there, I think we should do that. And one thing I wanted to do this week, didn't have enough time to do, was I wanted to go through each one of our lists and figure out which ones we all listed and maybe attack those first and then go from there. So maybe we can work that in starting next week.
The one we all should have listed would be the Professional Wrestler's Workout and Instructional Guide. That we...
Well, gee, why would we do that?
But I can physically demonstrate that book to Mike if you'd like.
Only if Grayson Steele are there, too.
will that be during your training for the Danny Hodge match?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there we go. And of course, right after Mike covers your medical costs.
Right, exactly. Yes.
All right.
Then
so
he can cover his own.
There you go. If anybody wants to get Les out and have him take a look at your talent, look at your promotion, basically, jack of all trades has done everything in this business. I know there's a lot of people out there that give a good testimonial on him, and I've actually seen him in action doing it. He can come and assess what you got going on with your promotion from top to bottom and offer all kind of input that will do nothing but enhance what you got going on already. What's that? EPWT.com, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There you go.
Or you can email me at les@epwt.com as well. Yeah.
There you go. And, of course, still doing Wrestling Weekly over there on the weekends?
I am, and... you know, it's now Doc Young's Wrestling Week. And he said, we had to stop calling that. And I said, no, we don't, because we're going to call it whatever the hell we want. Shut up and get well. That's the best I can do. And then, yeah, I'm still doing Wrestler's Eye Radio with Mike Johnson on PW Insider as well. So
keeping the light on for Doc there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mike, everybody can find you Sundays doing.
That's Scattered About on the Wrestling Observer Live show with Brian Alvarez. SportsByline.com. Find out information there. Just go to WrestlingObserver.com. Sunday, 6 to 8. It's also on Sirius Channel 94, although during football season, usually the 4 o'clock games are covering that up. Hopefully, for everyone's sake, the 4 o'clock game they did not watch this week was Atlanta and Seattle, because that was ugly.
That was a train wreck.
My Redskins,
train wreck,
by the way, are leading the Eastern NFL East 3-1, boys. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Want to mention that we got a lot of things going on, obviously, with the advent of ringsiderap.com. Just want to maybe put it out there to you folks. Hey, well, there's a lot of audio coming off the GWH Radio Network. Down to 2 weekly shows right now. Phoning It In and Dave and Danger kind of been on hiatus, but it looks like neither one are going to come back. However, Dave Wills does plan to be back in some way, shape, or form soon. It just won't be the Dave and Danger show, I don't think. And then what we do have coming up, starting hopefully next Monday, we're targeting next Monday as the start date for Georgia Wrestling Now. That will be resuming some coverage of what's going on in the local scene. That's going to be hosted by Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. And he's going to be tag-teaming with Nemesis from the Urban Assault Squad. So you want to check that out. It's going to be fun to have Nemesis as part of the network. And Trent Van Dries is going to return as the host of OVW Overview. It's going to be a monthly show where basically he looks at his backyard promotion there, and I didn't mean that as a derogatory term. He's literally, I don't know, a couple of blocks away from where it all happens there, so he's been giving weekly reports out all over the web, and he's going to be doing a monthly show here featuring various talent from OVW, so that ought to be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome.
Absolutely. He's great on radio. It's going to be great
to
have
him. I'll call Danny and let him know what you called his promotion.
So the show will be dead before it even debuts.
That OVW is a backyard promotion.
Yeah, a whole bunch of new things happening over at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com with the radio network. A couple other things are going to come up real soon, so stay tuned there for more details.
Real quick, I don't know if for anybody listening that is any wrestlers, announcers, referees, or anything that attends Gulf Coast Reunion, it has been moved forward or backward, I guess, to the first weekend in March. It was when we left down there, this past March, it was supposed to be the second weekend, but there's a big race there at Mobile International Speedway, and they need the space that we normally have for parking and whatnot. So it has been moved. It's going to be the 2nd and 3rd of March. So if you have reservations down there, call your hotel and change them. Or if you don't and plan on coming, then plan on first Friday and Saturday of March.
And if you don't like that, call your local congressman.
Right.
Not that'll do you any good.
That'll work.
I do just want to put this out, and I don't want to sound like I'm begging here, but I want everybody to realize that we're giving a lot away here for free. Doing the radio stuff, it does cost a lot of money, and doing radio stuff or doing the website stuff as well. We don't get a lot of revenue off hits on the website, but we do get a little, and it does help us cover some costs. So if you wouldn't mind, just every now and then stop by the websites and just check out what's going on. If we'd like you to make it a regular part of your daily lives, actually, but especially with these polls. And I know Mike's going to start sending us something daily.
Oh, Jesus. That's going to be more of it in my life.
Mike needs something productive to do with his life.
But anyway, that's a cheap, easy way to afford or to help us afford what we're doing without asking you to actually pull anything out of your pocket. So yeah, we're actually better than a lot of other sites that make you pay for stuff.
Yeah, but look at the radio show archives you get with Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly and anything with the like the Admin like Big Audio Nightmare or Wrestling Observer Live.
Oh yeah. Or you can get Danny Hodge and Jim Ross over here and stuff like that. But anyway.
Yeah, God, we need to have Danny Hodge and Jim Ross.
We've got we've gotten away from guests. Actually, Jim Ross was talking about coming on before Survivor Series, so I'm going to get with him soon and see if we can go ahead and line up a date for that, maybe try to have him on the Wednesday before that. But anyway, we do have a lot of people that I've been talking to about lining them up. It's just work schedule has been so hectic. I've been kind of bouncing around, so I've been sort of not able to do as much as I would like in terms of getting guests on, but I think we've done a fair job of keeping the shows entertaining. But anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week, and I don't know. Anybody got any parting words?
Goodbye. How's that?
Can't get any better than
that's
that.
That's pretty profound, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.